The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. We have the next 2 days off. What are you going to do with your long, long weekend?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I'll probably head downstairs at some point. I assume I will.
Sure. Yeah. What do you got, an elevator? You're going 4 or 5 floors down?
No, I'm still taking the steps. I'm trying to keep up with my step count. My step count is up to about 50 these days. You know, get a good number and stay with it. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Kyrie goes for 60, Kyle Schwarber goes to the Phillies, and Grant Hill goes to a Zoom for 5 good minutes with us. But we begin today with the NCAA tournament, which begins in earnest tomorrow with what we here call the first round. We have studiously avoided making picks, claiming we have no idea who can win this. But the time has come to put our chips in the middle of the table and declare, Wilbon, at the very least, tell us who has the best chance of winning.
I have no idea. Tony, I filled out, finally, some brackets. You know, I filled out some brackets. And you know what? Each bracket, I don't just have a different Final Four. I have, like, a different Sweet 16. I mean, none of the teams repeat. I can go through and justify throwing anybody out. Like, in one of the Final Fours, in one of the ones I'm holding, I have Arizona going to the Final Four. But in one I did, like, an hour ago, I had Arizona losing in the second round, or I guess the third round, in Illinois. So I don't know. I got the only team I had, like, go through to the Final Eight in all the brackets I filled out, I'm going to arrive at one, is I have Gonzaga. But you know me. I famously hate chalk. I pick upsets. Back in the day, and I mean in the 80s and the 90s and the aughts, I haven't won one in 20 years. I used to win these things. I have won big-time NCAA brackets in my day, tournaments, yeah, by picking upsets, by not going chalk, by not picking number ones. But, Tony, I have no idea. I have Gonzaga. I have Baylor. But I also have Iowa. I like the fact that Iowa can hang 110 on you. I have no other reason. I have no reason. I'm sort of rooting for Arizona, but I can't root for Arizona and Illinois. I'm rooting for Loyola teams that mean something to me. I have no idea.
So I have some things that I wrote down that I would like to see, that I want to see. I want to see Davidson beat Michigan State. I want to see Colgate beat Wisconsin. I want to see South Dakota State beat Providence. And I want to see Vermont, the team from my conference, America East. I want to see them beat Arkansas. I don't think any of these things will happen. You'll notice I've stayed away from the major conferences, 10, 11, and 12 seeds. I'm going to tell you something, Mike. I want them all to lose. I don't think that they should put really bad teams into play-in games anymore. I think they should put these teams from the major conferences in all the play-in games. I think if you got teams you don't like and they're going to be 16, put them in the main draw. Give them the honor of losing in the main draw. And so that's the soapbox I'm on. If you ask me what team I think I want to see win, Mike, it's Tennessee. Because I've become enamored lately with the SEC becoming a basketball conference, finally using all that money they get from football to hire pretty good coaches and build good facilities. But I'm not sure they will. So if it comes down to it, ultimately for me, I think Gonzaga will win the tournament. And if they don't win this one, Mike, I don't think they'll ever win.
You're rooting against Izzo. You're rooting for Izzo, who's been a guest of this show, who has been supportive of you and me 40 years running back when we were sports
writers,
and you're rooting against Izzo. This is not acceptable.
I'm rooting for a small academic school. That's what I've done in those picks.
It's so lame. You root against Magic. Yeah, you always say, your Magic is the greatest player of all time. You pick Jordan.
Love Magic.
I got Magic. You root against Magic and Izzo. Not to mention Draymond.
You're extending ties in such a crazy way that you're doing Magic. That's 40 years ago. Stop it.
Who's the face of Michigan State even now? Huh? Magic. Let's move to the NBA. Maybe Steve Smith a little bit. Where Kyrie Irving became the second player in consecutive nights to put up 60. following Karl Anthony Towns. Kyrie put up 41 in the first half against the Magic and got a standing O from the Orlando crowd after hitting the three that got him to 60. So putting aside the well-known vaccination issues for the moment, what do you see when you watch Kyrie and this performance?
All right, just let me get this bitterness out very, very briefly. I see what everybody else sees. Somebody who should have been playing every day, but his egotism and his selfishness would not let him do this. Last week, I sat on this particular set and I said the following thing to you. I said, anyone who discounts the Nets is insane. And I was aiming that at you because I thought you were discounting the Nets. They have two of the five most talented players in all of basketball. Durant went for 53 the other night. Durant's the best player in the world, and he has been for a couple of years now. Kyrie went for 60. He went for 50 the other day. Kyrie Irving is the best ball handler and best penetrator in the entire game of basketball. So you can't, you just can't discount them. I mean, if they have that kind of scoring power, they're going to be a live team all the time. Mike, what surprised me most was to find out today that's the first time ever that two players went back-to-back 50-plus. And I thought, well, who would have? And I immediately thought Shaq and Kobe would have. That's what I thought.
Shaq and Kobe or Wilt and West or Baylor. It had to be the Lakers. Some combination of Lakers, and they didn't do it. Here's what I saw, Tony, or I see. Watching Kyrie Irving is... it's sort of maddening sometimes because he's a wizard. He's a magician. I know we like to call Javi Baez El Mago. Kyrie is El Mago. He's the magician. I mean, he's not just the greatest ball handler today. I mean, it's a short list. I mean, you can go back to Cousy if you see the evolution of it. I know you got Di Gregorio in there. I don't remember that. But Maravich, Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah.
And then Iverson, but Iverson's not as good as Isaiah. To me, Isaiah's the best ever. And you look at him handle, finish the mid-range game. He just doesn't stand out there as a sniper. He has mastered every part of offensive basketball. And now the most impressive thing he did all week was he went out and he said to his coach, Steve Nash, in the huddle, I got James Harden. I got him. Because, see, players don't do that anymore. They don't say in the huddle to the coach, no, no, no. I got energy. I'm getting paid a lot of money. I got that dude. Kyrie did that to Harden. I was more impressed by that than 60, which you know he can get. He's a magician. He is.
Yeah. And you know what, Mike? The next time we'll see him is next Thursday because it's the next road game.
Yeah.
And that's on his own hands. He's done that.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go to baseball hot stove. Kyle Schwarber is going to the Phillies. Japanese star Saya Suzuki is going to the Cubs. Anthony Rizzo is staying with the Yankees, and the Oakland fire sale continues. Third baseman Matt Chapman is going to Toronto. Wilbon, which is the headline to you?
Mike, the guy I'm going to watch pay. I'm only going to pay to watch one of those guys, Seiya Suzuki. 27 years old, Tone. He hit 38 home runs last year in the Japan Central League, hit 317. But the 38 home runs are important because he's playing in Wrigley. You get some days, particularly early in the year, when the wind is blowing out. I mean, if he hit 38, I don't know what the ballpark was there, but the chances are he could be in that same neighborhood between 35 and 45 home runs in Wrigley Field, and the Cubs are rebuilding. Nobody's going to watch him except if you're deep, 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 deep on, you know, MLB Network. You know, you're going to see him. But I care about him. These other people, fine. I'm sure it'll be fascinating. But I'm going to pay to watch Suzuki, and I'm excited to see him. 27 years old. Got him for a while.
I'm going to mention somebody who you used to care about, Anthony Rizzo, the fact that he's staying with the Yankees.
I did.
It's smart to have a left-handed power-hitting first baseman in Yankee Stadium. He's a pleasant guy, and he's a really good fielder.
235.
Freddie Freeman is exactly that. All of those things. And this means that Freddie Freeman is not going to the Yankees. So now we can pay attention if he goes to the Padres, if he goes to the Dodgers, if he goes to the Red Sox. I am interested personally in Kyle Schwarber because, like you, when he played for the Cubs, I got a chance to watch him for the first half of the season last year when he was playing with the Washington Nationals. In June, he hit 16 home runs, Mike. 16 in 1 month. And then he left. You know, he got hurt. He left, and he ended up somewhere else. When he joins the Phillies, he helps them. I think he's a perfect DH in this regard. He will also play the field. He can play first. He can play left. So he'll be involved in the games more than somebody who is just a hitter. I've thought for the last 2 years that the Phillies' everyday lineup is better than everybody else in the National League with the exception of the Dodgers, and he makes them better. Now maybe they can make the playoffs, which they never do. So I'm interested in that. And by the way, Toronto's infield is loaded. Let's take a break. Coming up, are Duke players feeling the pressure of living up to Coach K's final season? We're going to ask Grant Hill, who's a Dukie.
Got G on the show. We'll also ask him how he expects Chet Holmgren's game to translate to the next level. Grant Hill has a new book out, Tony, The Game. It's I've read a big part of it. It's terrific. I'm recommending it right now.
By the way, Zach Greinke going back to the Royals, where he started. I think he won a Cy Young there. He's going back to the Royals.
Yes, he was really, really good. Young in his career.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's get back into the NCAA tournament with a man who'll be calling four games on Friday. Our good friend from Turner Sports, CBS Sports, Basketball Hall of Famer Grant Hill, who we knew when he was this high, right, Wilbon?
Yeah, not he was like 12 high, years old. High. He was like 10 or 12.
Yeah. We knew him then. All right, let's start with this. It's a long-winded question. One of the games that you're calling is Cal State Fullerton against Duke. This is Mike Krzyzewski's last tournament. You were in Cameron for his last game. Duke lost to Carolina, got beat pretty bad, and then got pounded by Virginia Tech in the ACC tournament. Grant, I'm wondering if living up to the expectations of these large moments for Mike is a little too big for these kids on the team. Do you feel that way?
Well, Tony, I was there in Cameron without my white shirt on like the rest of the gang. And it was an incredible moment, a lot of emotion. It was a lot. And I remember right after the game, I told my wife, right after the beginning of the game, I said, I'm not sure if I were 19 years old, I'd be able to play in this environment. And she said, well, you played in Final Fours. But this was different. It was heavy. There was emotion. There was this feeling like we have to win it for Coach. And I felt like they were emotionally hungover last weekend at the ACC tournament. They got to the conference tournament finals. They lost to Virginia Tech, but didn't play great or didn't play as well as they had played prior to that Carolina game during those games leading up to it. So, you know, hopefully now there's a time to just sort of calm down. You know, it's 0-0 the season. It's single elimination. I expect Duke to play better than they played in the last four games. But there's a lot of pressure, not just trying to win a tournament game, but to try to send Coach K off as a champion, which is tough for any team.
All right, even though you're sitting with Cameron Indoor Stadium right there in the background, which Tony, of course, thought was the Alamo because he hadn't been out of his attic in 2 years, we're going to spread this out a little bit away from Cameron and ask you some tournament questions, a couple of them. Grant, when you look at Gonzaga's Chet Holmgren, all 7 feet of him, do you see maybe a young Sean Bradley? Or do you see a 2.0, 3.0 version who's got more skills and maybe more evolved than that?
It's a great question. I mean, this kid is really incredible, his talent. I watched him in high school, watched him this season at Gonzaga. You know, I think as his game translates, particularly at the next level, his skill set, his length, I think he has a chance to be an incredible player, an all-star style of player. you know, the physicality in college, it's a different game than the NBA game, but better indeed than Sean Bradley. Maybe the defensive presence that Sean Bradley provided, but also I think a little bit of Porzingis with his shooting, his ability on the perimeter. I actually think his, you know, he can put the ball on the floor, make plays. We forget he's still 1 year removed from high school. He still has a lot of maturity and growing to do physically. But his skill set and his ceiling, in my opinion, is through the roof. And I think he has tremendous upside, particularly at the next level in the NBA.
Grant, Tony and I are convinced, this may not be a good thing, that this tournament is so wide open that he and I both think that like 15, 18 different teams could win. Are we right, or have we not been paying enough attention to some teams that have really separated themselves from the bunch?
Well, this is a first. The two of you guys are in agreement. I'm not used to that. I'll say I agree. I actually feel like this year there's really not a front runner. There's so many teams out there, in my opinion, that have the ability to win this thing. And so there hasn't been that one or two, you know, usually just two or three teams that sort of differentiate themselves or separate themselves from the pack. This year, it's maybe one of 15, one of 20 teams. And so I think that'll make for an exciting tournament. The uncertainty, look, every year we know there's buzzer beaters and there's upsets. And we don't know when it'll happen, but it always seems to happen on display during this tournament. And so we know that'll happen, but we don't know. I mean, I think in terms of filling out brackets, it's going to be a lot of unhappy campers with their brackets this year because there's so much parity and there's so many teams that have the ability to win it all.
We'll get you out of here on this. We need a short answer. Is there, we asked Jay Billis this yesterday, is there a team that's a long shot for you that you really, really like, but you can't pick an 11 or a 12 seed from a major conference? No. A long shot that you really like.
And Jay gave you a short answer? Wow. you know, I'm just going to go out on a whim and say I like USC. I like Andy Enfield, the job he's done. They got to the Elite Eight last year. They lost Evan Mobley, but they've played good basketball. Not so much as of late, but they had a great stretch during the Pac-12. So that might be my long shot. Good length. I need their guard play to be better, consistent. Booger Ellis is there, but Boogie Ellis. But I do think that they have a chance. That's the one team I'll go with.
Thank you, Grant. Thanks so much.
All right, Grant. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Thank you. This is not the Alamo.
Grant will join. Yeah, it's not the Alamo. Grant will join Jim Nantz, Bill Raftery, and Tracy Wolfson throughout the tournament. They will call the Final Four and the championship game. Let's take one last break. But still to come, a big day for Mikayla Shiffrin.
And yet another big-name player heads to the AFC West. I'm tired of the AFC West. Oh, I'm tired of it.
Okay, it's Cameron, but it does look a little like the Alamo. At first, I thought it was where he lived. Maybe it was his house. I don't know.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 28th birthday, Joel Embiid. Embiid's 29.9 points a game leads the NBA. His 11.3 rebounds ranks 8th. He is a front runner for MVP, though Nikola Jokic in Denver beat Philly in Philly the other night. Embiid outscored Jokic 34-22, but Jokic out-rebounded Embiid 13-9 and had 8 assists to Embiid's 4. His scoring and assist numbers are the best of Embiid's career, and he has played in 55 of 67 games so far, which is good for him. Embiid is the ultimate trust-the-process player with the Sixers. After sitting out his first two seasons with injuries, he's played 6 now. But the furthest the Sixers have gone in the playoffs with him is the second round.
You know, Tony, you throw in Antetokounmpo, you're looking at 3 incredibly talented international big men. Yep. And I love the face-off the other night between Joker and Embiid. They respect each other. They like each other. They went at each other. And then afterward, they just praise each other, saying, I'd happily have him be the MVP. I love them. You've taken shots at Embiid for years. It's time to get on board now. Embiid is a great player, and he is leading his team, and he's more important to that team than Harden. He really is.
Happy anniversary, C.J. McCollum. On this day 10 years ago, McCollum scored 30 points to lead 15-seed Lehigh over Austin Rivers, Seth Curry, and 2-seed Duke. There have only been 9 such 15-2 upsets in tournament history, beginning in 1991 when Richmond did it to Syracuse. Perhaps the most famous was when 15-seed Florida Gulf Coast went dunk city all over Georgetown in 2013. McCollum went on to Portland for 9 seasons until being traded to New Orleans this season. Since his arrival, McCollum leads the Pelicans in scoring with 27.1 a game and in assists, 6.7. New Orleans is currently 10th in the West, slightly ahead of McCollum's old team, Portland.
Like you, C.J. McCollum has a podcast, Tony, Pull Up with C.J. McCollum, which people regularly praise. Have you checked out his podcast, you two, you know, podcast fraternity brothers? Have you checked it out?
I've not. I hope he has Embiid on, though. I'd like to learn more. Happy trails to Novak Djokovic's absence from the Grand Slams. French Open organizers said today that Djokovic will be allowed to defend his championship at Roland Garros. Earlier this week, France lifted coronavirus restrictions in almost all public spaces except hospitals, nursing homes, and public transportation. Tournament director Amélie Mauresmo said, quote, as things stand, nothing stands in the way of Djokovic taking part in the French Open, unquote. Djokovic was famously deported from Australia and barred from playing the Australian Open because he wasn't vaccinated. Now he can chase Rafael Nadal's 21 majors and not have to lie on his visa application.
Tony's going to wind up as the GOAT in terms of numbers. He's going to wind up passing Federer and Nadal. He just is, and we don't want to accept it, but that's going to happen.
One omission, the Titans are releasing Julio Jones, and we go to the big finish quickly.
Let's do it.
Baker Mayfield thanked Browns fans in a long post. What did you make of it?
I don't know, but Mort says the Browns are moving on because they want an adult at the quarterback position. Now everybody's going to take shots at him. And, you know, that's starting to annoy me. Mikayla Shiffrin won her first World Cup downhill in 2 years today in France. You impressed?
Good for her. She had a tough Olympics, and yet she talked to reporters after every single race. I'm glad she's won. She's ennobled to me. Former Cardinals pass rusher Chandler Jones signed with the Raiders. Is that significant?
Yes. I mean, everybody, I don't know, there seems to be turnover there and dissatisfaction. I don't know if I like what the Cardinals are doing this offseason. Steven Strasburg, your boy, says he doesn't intend to push his recovery from thoracic outlet surgery for opening day. He'll be ready when he's ready. Your thoughts?
And what else is new? He's pitched 26 and two-thirds innings in the last 2 years. He's out a lot. Last one, 2 more play-in games tonight. Who you got?
Tony, most importantly, I got Rutgers. They play Notre Dame. I got Ron Harper Jr. and Rutgers of the Big Ten. I got them winning 3 games tonight and 2 more.
We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We're off until Monday, knuckleheads. You can see Greeny, Stephen A., Jalen, and me duke it out at Countdown at 7 Eastern. Now here's SportsCenter. I picked the I-95 team to win a couple of games. You like that?
Happy St. Patrick's Day.